this man heard the audible voice of God that changed his destiny forever. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest says he was taking a shower, heard the audible voice of God, which has so dramatically changed his destiny. Randy, tell me what your life was like before that.
Well, before I heard the voice of God and before I even knew God, I was just by worldly standards, I was doing very nicely. All my friends thought I was successful in my business. I had a wife, two kids, a nice house, comfortable life, everything was good.
But let's take the facade off what was really going on inside.
Really, I had a hole inside me that I couldn't satisfy. I thought it was a middle-aged crazy thing. I'd had an affair on my wife several months before anything ever happened in my life, and I'd come to a point where I really felt like this is it, this business, my life, my wife, my kids, it's not worth it.
Did you try drugs?
I did drugs. I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I used pot daily. Those kind of things, alcohol. I stayed up and watched TV all night long. I watched football from Thursday through Tuesday. So all in all, my life was pretty much a mess. It was just get by one day to the other.
Did you think it was a mess, though? Did you have an inkling, or were you just fooling yourself to like the world?
No, deep down inside, I knew it was a mess, and I knew I couldn't go on with it. I wasn't happy, and I'd come to a point where I decided I'm giving up. I was going to leave. I was just going to pack up my car and drive off into the sunset.
But you have children. How could you do that?
I don't know. I just didn't really care about it all that much anymore. I just gotten to the point where that didn't matter.
Well, what changed that?
Well, at that point, my daughter came home from, she was going to this church meeting on Wednesday nights with some other, a lady came over and picked her up and took her. She came over and said, "Dad, I want to get baptized." And I was like, "Oh, go ahead, that's fine. I didn't really care." And she said, no, you have to go up and meet the preacher before I can get baptized. And I said, no, I really don't want to do that. So she finally talked me into doing that. And then I went up and met the preacher, but he wasn't there. So I was standing around the church going, well, this guy's not going to show up. Well, you know, I don't know how that works exactly. But so then I thought, well, we'll just kind of stay here. A prayer meeting started, and I heard somebody in there mention, has anybody heard about this church in Pensacola, Florida, where there's a revival going on? People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. Hookers, prostitutes, all that kind of thing. And I just kind of laughed and thought, revival. I could care less about that. All I wanted to do was get out of there. So later that, you know, the pastor never did show up, so we ended up leaving. I went home that night. I sat down and started looking through the internet about 9:30 at night. Smoked a couple of joints and was relaxed. And let's look around at some stuff. And I thought, oh, hey, if there's a bunch of stuff going on, let's see if it's so big, there'll be something on the internet about this Pensacola thing. So just out of curiosity, I looked it up. Well, the next thing I knew, I looked up and it was 8:30 in the morning, and I printed off about 200 pages. Worn out my cartridge.
Did you read it all?
Yes, sir.
Why?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I just started reading it.
That's not as exciting as football. What were you doing that for?
I don't know. Just there was something about lives being changed and people being healed and all these kind of things. And I'd never seen anything or touched anything like that. And it was just, to me, it was more interesting than anything else.
Did your wife and family know you had spent all night on the internet?
Well, my wife did when she woke up in the morning and thought I was crazy. And so did I. So quite honestly, I couldn't believe I did it. I had to go to work that day. I lived in San Antonio, Texas. I had to drive about an hour north to Austin, Texas. So I went and got my car and was driving, and I saw this little Baptist church as I drove by it up on the hill. I remember looking at it and saying, God, I don't care what you're doing in Pensacola, Florida. I'm not even going to drive 5 miles to this little Baptist church to come see you. I'm sure not going to go to Pensacola, Florida.
That was pretty nervy.
Well, I was at that point in my life where I really didn't care.
Okay.
And I just told God, I'm not interested in what you're doing. I could care less. And about that time, right up out of the dashboard of my van, came a sign that came right up in front of my eyes that said, Pensacola.
What kind of sign?
Well, it was like about the size of a dollar bill, a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And it came up and blocked my eyes, and it said Pensacola across it. And I couldn't, I'm doing 80 miles an hour down the highway.
Did it obstruct your vision?
Yes. And I couldn't see.
Talk about getting your attention.
Well, I was thought I was about to die driving along a freeway in rush hour traffic.
Yeah, so, you must have just it just an imagination, or you're tired. You hadn't slept that night, so.
That was my immediate thought. I said, "Okay, I'll go," and the sign went away.
Why did you say you'd go?
I don't know.
You just didn't want to go.
I know, but it just came out. I was trying to get this sign out of my face. I said, uh-huh. "I'll go." And the sign went away, and then I immediately thought, this is what happens when you stay up and read the internet all night. And I just, computer burned onto my eyes, this Pensacola thing. So as that happened, I kind of, you know, made my heart race for a couple hours. And later that day, I thought to myself, I'm going to test this thing one more time. And I said, God, I don't care what you're doing in Pensacola, I'm not going there. And here the sign came again and blocked my vision a second time. And immediately I knew what to do to make it go away. I said, okay, I'll go. And the sign went away.
Were you telling the truth?
Yes, sir. I went home, I looked at my wife, and I said, I need to get a plane ticket to Pensacola, Florida.
And what did she think?
She was just, what for? And I said, I don't know. I saw this sign, and she thought I'd seen an advertisement on the highway billboard
right.
That said, you know, a cheap rate to Pensacola or something. She didn't know what it was because I've always been kind of an impulsive guy. And she said, well, what are you talking about? And when I told her more about this, she basically thought I was crazy. And she looked at me and said, you can't go 700 miles to Pensacola, Florida without getting high. You've never done that in your life. And I said, well, I'm going to give it a try. So I got my car and a couple other guys that I knew kind of piled in with me as a let's go see what this is all about thing. And we drove to Pensacola, and I'd never, understand, I hadn't been in a church in, off and on, a couple of churches here and there, but I'd never been in a...
That wasn't your thing.
No, I'm not a big church goer. So it was in December, we showed up out in front of the church, 2:00 in the afternoon, for a service that started 7 at night, and there were 500 to 1,000 people standing in line out
there. In line at a church?
Standing in front of the church.
Why were they all, why did they want to go in there?
I don't know. Same reason. I guess they saw signs too. I don't know. So I didn't know anything about it. All I know is I was very uncomfortable. And I stood there for, 5 hours and then got into the church and had a seat right up on the second row.
How'd that happen?
Well, I don't know. I was at the back of the line, but somehow there just happened to be 3 seats for us all right there on the second row, right in the front of the church. So,
what'd you think of what you saw?
Well, at first I walked in and I saw people, you know, shaking their heads and doing that. And I thought, well, maybe they're here to be healed. I don't know, you know.
I'll tell you, he saw some pretty strange things, and we're going to find out about it. But the strangest of all is when fire hit him. Yes, you heard me right. Fire hit him. We'll be right back after this.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking with Randy Kinzel. This man, his marriage was a mess. I mean, it looked okay on the outside, but he knew better. It was a mess. He's into drugs. His business is going okay. And a sign, a supernatural, I mean, like a billboard almost, but supernatural, blocks his view as he's driving his car. He can't even see until he agrees to go to a church in Pensacola, Florida, Brownsville Assembly of God. He goes. He's not a churchgoer. He has to wait in line 5 hours just to get a seat. Thousands of people like him are lined up to go into this church. Supernaturally, he's in the second row. Tell me, Randy, what you saw with your eyes that was different.
Well, I saw all kinds of things that I'd never seen before, not being somebody who'd ever even really gone to church much. In the churches I'd gone to, I'd never seen anything like this. I didn't know what to expect and didn't go in with any expectations, just knew that I was supposed to be there. And the minute the praise and worship started, they started playing the music. People started jumping up and down and throwing their hands up in the air, and I'd never been exposed to anything like that, seen anything like that. So to me, it was different.
Were you uncomfortable?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think so.
I was a little bit uncomfortable. I was.
So why'd you even stay?
I don't know. I kept wanting to leave, but I never could. And then finally, I got to the part where, you know, they took up an offering, and then the pastor came up to, so a guy came up to preach, and he got up there and started preaching, and he was a down-to-earth guy. I really liked that. You know, I hadn't heard anybody ever before preach like this. But every now and then, it was like, that hurts. There was something that...
What hurts?
I don't know. It was like he was shooting me with a gun in the chest or something, but I kept feeling pain hit me. Hmm. And it was very... It was strange. So then he said, okay, everybody move your chairs. And I was a little mad. I traveled 700 miles, and here I'm going to lose my chair in the front of the church. So I didn't understand that, but I was like, okay. So I moved my chair, and I thought, well, this is the point where I slip out the back door. I've been pretty good at that all my life, and I didn't really know what an altar call was or, you know, what they mm-hmm. were what they were about to do. And as I was headed towards the door, the preacher said, sir. And for some reason, it felt like he was talking straight to me. So I stopped, and he told me the very things I was doing were going to send me to a place I didn't want to be. And if I wanted forgiveness, I had to come down and repent of my sins. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I remember standing there going, okay, it made sense. And the more he said it, then when he said, run, if you're serious, you run, I ran. I had to apologize to the little old lady I almost knocked over. She was walking.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you run for an altar call?
Well, I don't know. That's just what he told me to do. So I did. I was just trying to do what God wanted me to do, I guess. I don't know what I was doing. I just ran. I went on my face and I cried. And God did something in me. Because when I stood up, I was totally different. I remember standing up and reaching down and pinching my skin and just, what's happened? I could not explain it at all.
Someone prayed for you there.
Well, and then this lady in the church came up and said, how are you doing? And I said, okay, well, you know, what is this all over me? And she said, well, look, there's Dr. Mike Brown. Let me go get him to pray for you. So she went and got him, and he walked over to me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, what's your name? I said, Randy. So where are you from? San Antonio. What are you here for? Everything God has for me. And the minute I said that, I saw two fires light up in each one of the pupils of his eyes. And he put his hand on my stomach. And after that, I don't really know what happened.
What happened? What occurred to you? I mean, did you pass out? What happened?
Well, I think I went down to the floor. I don't know how.
How tall are you?
6'4".
How much do you weigh?
About 280.
Did he push you down on the floor?
No.
What is this fire business?
I don't know. He put one hand on my stomach like this and said, fire. And it scared me. It startled me when I saw the fire in his eyes.
Real fire you saw in his eyes.
Two flames lit up in each one of his eyes.
Listen, I've got to go to Dr. Michael Brown and see exactly what this fire is. Let's go to Dr. Michael Brown at Brownsville in Pensacola, Florida. I'm interested in that fire that was in Michael Brown's eyes. The best way to find out is to go directly to Dr. Michael Brown. Michael, what is this fire that Randy saw in your eyes?
Well, obviously I didn't see it. I wasn't aware of it, but it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. Bible says that God himself is a consuming fire. And Jesus said he comes to baptize us, to immerse us in the Holy Spirit and fire, and that we should be on fire for God. When I pray for people, I often cry out, fire! God, burn out the sin. God, fire! Set them ablaze. Fire! And we've been amazed to see all of us praying for people. It's not me, but all of us praying for people in this revival, seeing people bound by homosexuality, and they get up, the desire's left them. A lady came up to me, she said, I'm 22. A year ago, I came to one of your meetings. She said, I've been a drug addict for 2 years, drinking for 2 years, sexually immoral. The relationship with my parents was broken down. I was smoking cigarettes. She said, I came to the meeting, you prayed for me. She said, I said the word change, change, change over her. She fell to the ground under God's power. She said, I got up. I have since, in this last year, had no desire for a cigarette, for a drink, for a drug, to sleep around. My parents and I are reconciled, and the parents came over to me with tears and said, we have a new daughter. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Would you pray for everyone that wants to receive this fire right now?
I'd love to. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that fire would fall on everyone viewing, that the fire of your Spirit would burn in their hearts, that you would remove everything that stands between them and God, that you'd burn up the uncleanness, that you'd burn up the complacency, that you'd burn up the traditionalism, that you'd burn up the fear of man, and that you would bring them into a face-to-face encounter with you. And everyone watching who knows you, set them ablaze for you. Let Holy Spirit fire fall. The same fire that fell when Elijah prayed and consumed the sacrifices, let fire fall in every home of every viewer now in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I am fascinated by this fire. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated. Randy, it's nice you had this fire business, but what did you tell your wife when you came home?
Well, it wasn't necessarily what I told my wife, as it was what she saw in me. She looked at me and said, you're different. What happened? And I just told her, I said, well, I went down there and met God. And she said, and what does that mean? And I said, well, all things are different now. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't cuss anymore. I don't watch TV anymore. I mean, it just, all the desires for all these things just went away.
Football? You played football in college. That was important to you.
Yes, sir. I played at the University of Texas college football, and I've been a football fan all my life, but I didn't have time for it. I didn't even watch the Super Bowl that year, any of the playoffs or anything. So,
But you were taking a shower, minding your own business, and what happened?
Well, God had been dealing with me about going to the school of ministry, and I'd been kind of fighting with that a little bit because I own my own business. I'm 39 years old. I have a wife and two kids. I was taking a shower and I told God, I said, if you'll confirm it with me 43 times that I'm supposed to go.
Where'd you get the 43 from?
I don't know. Just a number that popped out of my head. So, and as time had gone on, it just...
You really didn't want to go.
No. I mean, I did, but I didn't. I just wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do, but I really felt that to walk away from everything I have and go, I didn't understand that. So I told God, you got to make it real clear. I don't want to make any mistakes. I can't afford to at 39 years of age. So I was taking a shower, and I heard God spoke to me in an audible voice, or somebody spoke to me and said, I sent you something in the mail today, and you didn't even check your mailbox. And when I heard that, I fell down.
Why did you fall down?
Just a fear came over me. I didn't know what it was. My knees started shaking. I was looking around. I thought, is there somebody in my house? You know, I'm in my shower. So when I got up, I obviously dried off and ran outside and checked my mailbox. My wife was just, what are you doing? I said, I got to check the mailbox. And there was an application to the Brownsville School of Ministry in there. So I had a pretty good idea that's what I was supposed to do.
A voice tells you to look in your mailbox.
Right.
You look in your mailbox, there's an invitation to go to Bible school. What about those 43 confirmations?
Well, that made like number 37 or 38.
Really?
Right there. So the next morning, a telephone call, a pastor in town called me up and said, I was praying last night and God told me he was going to send you something in the mail that would confirm your future. And I was like, okay. So And we had planned to go down to Brownsville over the week of Thanksgiving. So at that point, we left. I had my 39 confirmations, went down there, sat down in the first service, and Dr. Brown saw me and looked at me and kind of, come over here. I walked up to him. He said, I haven't seen you. How have you been? I said, great. He said, aren't you supposed to be going to the School of Ministry?
What number was that?
I said, well, that's number 40. And he looked at me puzzled and said, what? And I said, well, I told God 43 confirmations and I'd be there. So he said, well, I'm believing if he gave you 40, he can give you the other three. So he invited me to a teaching on Friday. I went to that. During the teaching afterwards, he has a little time of just, we'll just wait on the Lord. And I remember praying. I put my head down. I said, Lord, if you're really calling me out, do it right now. Do it supernaturally so that I know that it's you. And I want to know that I know. And I need you to do it three times. So you're God. Do whatever you're going to do. And after that, somebody started speaking in a different language I didn't understand. And then an interpretation came out that said, I'm calling you out, I'm calling you out, I'm calling you out to the service of the Lord. Immediately after that, my wife looked at me and said, that was for you. And I said, I know, time to go. And I knew.
What did you do with your business? You had a good business.
Well, my wife and I gave it to a lady that was
gave
in the church.
It?
Yes, sir.
How valuable was this business?
Well, you can debate that all day long. It produced a six-figure income for me for over 8 years.
You gave, but wait, you're going to be a student. You're going to need money. Why would you give it away?
Well, I really felt like God had dealt with me that if I was to do this, I'd seen how far I could go on what I had. Now it was time to let Him show me how far He could take me.
All right, tell me the change in your life right now. Your marriage. It was stinking before. How is it now?
Put together in a way that it's never been. I love my wife like I've never loved her before.
What about money? Let's get practical.
Well, God's been providing everything I need. I moved down here in faith with just a few thousand dollars. I've paid all my tuition. I've paid my bills. I've taken care of it. So
drugs? You need that. I mean, come on now. You need that every once in a while.
No, sir. I've not smoked a cigarette. Right after that, I tried to smoke a cigarette and had to throw it away. I thought it tasted bad. I fired up another one. It tasted bad. So I just thought, well, I'll pray. I said, God, do you want me to do this?
Do you miss it?
Not at all.
Did you hear what he said?
Not at all.
Why? Because it was a forceful thing? No. God gave him something better. Now, when he heard a song at Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, a young lady, Charity James, sings The Mercy Seat. When he heard that, he had a compulsion to get right with God. I believe that when you hear this music of Charity James, that you are going to feel the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, come upon you. And when you reach out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me, I make Jesus my Messiah and Lord, watch what happens. Joy, peace, purpose, destiny. I can't wait.
Come on. Of a lifetime of sin, lovely illusions, they never come true. I know where there's a place of mercy for you. He said that you could come into His presence without fear, into the holy place where His mercy hovers near. Come running, come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be a covering. His beloved gift, the Lord breathing.
I need the Lord. Come on, pray.